Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. For any of you listening to the show who love small mammals, you love birds, you love reptiles and amphibians, but you have arachnophobia, don't listen to this show. We're going to talk about tarantulas, the hairy-legged, gigantic spiders. Oh my God, people have them as pets. Dr. Doug, when you were a practicing vet with your own clinic, of which you wrote about so magnificently in The Vet at Noah's Ark, which I keep forgetting to mention to people, if you didn't get your copy yet, it's now out in paperback, and it is so delightful, just one anecdote after another. Did anybody bring their pet tarantula to you for a checkup?
Actually, yes. And Tracy, once again, thank you for the invitation. And you know, I enjoy spending time talking with you and all of your listeners. Yeah, tarantulas actually make pretty cool pets for the right person. You know, you're not going to find everybody's going to want a pet tarantula because tarantulas creep people out.
Oh, yeah.
Interestingly enough, they're very responsive to humans. You know, you can see into their terrarium and they can actually see out with their eight eyes and they can see you too. And they will recognize their owners. And if a non-owner walks into the room, you'll see him crouch down into the prey position to try and avoid being seen. And then if the owner walks in the room, they stand up on all of their eight legs and try and show themselves. But you had mentioned in one of the previous podcasts about how the gecko on TV would stand up on its back legs.
Yes.
Tarantulas can actually stand up on their back legs too and lift up in the air. So they're fascinating animals with a real plethora of behaviors that are fun to watch and participate with. There are probably, I think well over 1,000 species of tarantulas. And, you know, in the pet trade, maybe a couple dozen that are fairly common. And reality is there's maybe about a half a dozen that you typically see in the pet trade that most people will start with. You have to be a pretty hardcore tarantula person to get into some of the real esoteric species. But they do make really good pets. And interestingly enough, most people don't realize this, tarantulas can live 20, 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's not a 1 month or a a half a year commitment. You get a pet tarantula and you take good care of it, it's going to be with you for a long time.
Wow. Okay, so here's my tarantula story, which is why I was thrilled that you wanted to talk to people about tarantulas and encourage those who might be leaning in that direction. I lived in Southern California for a long time, Beverly Hills to be specific, up in the hills, and walking across the tile patio, somebody at the house yelled to me, oh my God, invasion of the tarantulas. It was one gigantic, it seemed, very hairy spider. But the size of a kind of a, I don't know, a very large mouse or even a small rat, I mean, it was really big. And I recently, before that, had tried to rescue just, I didn't know what kind of spider, from the mantelpiece, and took it outside and had to have two visits to the ER because it bit me and my whole hand swelled up and was incredibly painful. So I wasn't going to pick up the tarantula, but it also was too large to kind of, like, I don't know, you wouldn't step on it. I hate to say that on this show, but a lot of people think that you just kill spiders, general spiders. But this was like a little critter. So
yeah,
I quickly
absolutely.
Went and emptied out a Folgers coffee tin, cleaned it out, emptied it, and I went over to it and I kind of scooped it in there like you might with a bee or something, right? That you're trying to take the bee out of your house and put it outside. And it's little toenails. Now, I don't know, are they toenails? Clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack on the floor of the coffee tin. I thought, oh my goodness, have you got toenails? So I thought, all right, I'm going to call up the LA Zoo. They'll be so happy. I'm going to give them a tarantula. Well, they laughed at me. They said, no, that's so common. I said, I've never seen one. It's so common. We don't need a pet tarantula. We don't need a tarantula. We got all we can use. Try a pet store. So I called around to some pet stores. They said, are you trying to sell the tarantula? I said, no, I just want someone who wants it. I don't know what to do with it, and I'm not going to kill it because it would just, it'd be horrible. It's a whole little creature. So I called around to several pet stores, and they, no, we have enough tarantulas to sell. And then one of them said, oh, Danny's tarantula just died last week, and he is inconsolable. Could you bring it over? It was like an hour drive. Sure. I drove the tarantula to Danny. He was so happy. Doug, so it turns out that when you like tarantulas, you really love them. What about them is fun, that they have furry bodies and furry legs, well, and you get to feel something so exotic?
Well, yes, and no, yes. They're fascinating. They're beautiful. I mean, over 1,000 different species. You can imagine the color varieties that they have. And just to give you kind of a colorful description of their names, you've got the Mexican red knee, you've got the blonde Mexican, you have the Chilean rose,
wow.
You have the Costa Rica zebra.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's all sorts of beautiful species out there with fantastic colors, and they're cool to look at. And, you know, they're hairy, too, which
very
is like,
hairy.
Wait a minute,
so
animals
funny.
Are hairy. I didn't know bugs were hairy.
Right.
But they do. They have these little fur, like fur bristles on them. And I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to circle back to that. Don't let me forget that because that's really, really important.
Okay.
But, you know, again, they'll stand up on their back legs when they want to eat sometimes. They recognize their owners. And let's go back one step to something you mentioned about being bitten and going to the doctors. They are venomous, okay? And everybody needs to know that before they decide to get one. So you think back to some of these B-rated horror movies that you've seen on TV, especially the black and white ones, and the person walks in the room, you know, the explorer walks in the cave, and a tarantula jumps 20 feet, and bites them in the face, and sucks all their blood out. That doesn't happen, except on TV movies. They're not going to do that. If they see you, more likely or not, they're going to take off running. However, if you were to pick it up and try and grab it, they do have very large pinchers, and when they pinch you or bite you, okay, they don't bite because they don't have teeth, but
right.
They pinch you. They can, inject a small amount of venom. Now, the good news is people don't die from tarantula bites unless they have an allergic reaction. And the example of that would be like, you know how some people get bitten by a bee
sure.
and then they swell up? Some people will have an allergic reaction, anaphylactic reaction, and they can die. But they're dying from the anaphylaxis. They're not necessarily dying directly
right.
from the venom. It's an anaphylactic reaction to the protein in the venom. So that can happen, and you need to know that before you get one and bring it home to your kid. May not be the best starter pet for a child. Okay.
It's a look, don't touch. It's a look, don't touch pet.
Well, you can touch them, but you need to be trained how to touch them, and you never grab them. Okay, you can train your tarantula. If you put your hand out flat, you can train your tarantula to walk up on your hand. Now be prepared. It is a weird, weird feeling to have an eight-legged animal crawl up your arm. It's like, oh my God, you know, what's our first reaction? We jerk, right? We jump.
Right.
We fling our hands, and then you end up catapulting this poor tarantula across the room. It hits the wall, falls to the floor, and then breaks. Because they don't have an internal skeleton. They have an external skeleton.
Oh, my God.
And trauma, you asked me, did I ever see tarantulas in practice? Trauma is by far the most common thing that I ever saw. Because people would close a lid on their tarantula because it was getting out of the cage too fast, and they'd slam the lid shut, or they would drop it because they got afraid of it,
right.
Or a dog would attack it, and then they would break off legs and things like that.
Oh, now, my goodness.
That being said, can you fix it? Yes, you can with a little bit of crazy glue. But the reality is, the beauty is, these guys shed. And they shed more when they're younger, less when they get older. But as they shed, they'll grow a new leg. So if a leg falls off,
stop it.
Don't worry, it will grow a new leg.
Cut
and then
it
it'll
out.
Be back to them.
That is wild. That is so wild. I mean, we know that that some lizards, if their tail breaks off or they get caught by you or a cat or something, whatever part of the tail broke off, and they supposedly will grow another, but they'll grow a leg?
Yep, absolutely.
By the way, so, when you said they stand up on their hind legs, if you have eight legs, how do you know which are the hind legs?
Usually the back two on
the
each
back
side.
Back two, really, literally. Huh.
Yeah.
You wanted,
and that's
me to,
also a
you wanted me to
posture.
Bring up the hair again, the hair.
Okay, I did, and that's important because, as I mentioned, they can bite, but they really, A, they have to be really provoked to bite, and B, you have to be pretty... Oh boy, I shouldn't say this. You have to be pretty stupid to get bitten, and you got bitten.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to put your hand under their mouth because, like I said, they're not going to jump across the room. They're not going to chase you down the street to bite you. You have to put your hand under their mouth, and then they're going to bite you if they're stressed. But they do have a defensive posture and a defensive mechanism, and what that is when they get cornered by a predator, they turn around and face their abdomen, which is the big bulbous part of their butt, and
yep.
They face it at the predator, and then they use the back leg on each side. They reach up over their back, and they flick the little hairs. They actually flick their feet really fast, knock the hairs off, and jettison them toward their predator. Now, what's interesting is that these hairs have very, very annoying chemicals on them. And when the hair gets in the eye of the predator, so let's say it flicks it into the eye of a dog or flicks it in the eye of a person, it can cause a really nasty inflammatory response. And you almost always end up going to the doctors to have your eyes flushed and washed and then have anti-inflammatories put in them. And that's extremely important. Two things there. Number one, if you don't, you could damage your eyes. Number two, when you could always tell a stressed tarantula, a pet stressed tarantula, because they're always missing fur on their backside. And if you see a tarantula in a cage and it's missing a bunch of fur, you know that animal's not being housed properly and handled properly because it's getting stressed and it's flicking its fur. If you look at a tarantula and it's got a nice full fur coat, you know that's a happy tarantula.
Oh my God, that's how you know. Well, it's funny what you said about the jumping, because my friend Mady came over to visit on the day that I was trying to rehome this tarantula. And I said, she said, how did you get it? And I said, well, just with the coffee tin. And she said, oh, no, honey, I'm from Texas, and we have lots of tarantulas down there, and they can jump right at you 10 feet.
No, you hear about the jumping spiders, and that's just not, they don't do that.
Okay, good.
that's a TV show or a movie.
Okay, or some tale they tell in Texas.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm sure
I mean,
Texas, the tarantulas are really, really, really big.
I guess that tarantulas are really good for people who want to be looking pet owners, watching. It seems like they could be very interesting to watch. They're not really there for the human-animal bond and interacting as much. It seems like they're delicate and also could be stressed.
Well, it's like a fish in a tank, Tracy. You know,
right.
You get beautiful fish in your fish tank.
Yes.
You don't catch the fish and hold them in your lap watching TV. You enjoy them in the aquarium. And you enjoy their beauty.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the tarantula. You enjoy its beauty in the terrarium. You provide it a proper environment, so it's got hide places. It's got the right humidity. You give it the right food. And again, this thing will live 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
That's just wild. And you have a little piece of like the history of the universe in a cage because they've surely been around forever and ever and a day, and they can live so long. Are they mostly from South America? Because some of those names that you were talking about sounded like they were from South American countries.
North America, Central America, South America. I think most of the ones that we see in the pet trade are from South America.
Well, it's clearly yet another way to have an exotic in your life. Is it okay, by the way, just before we wrap up, to have only one tarantula, or is it kinder to have a pair?
You can have multiple ones, but they're not gregarious, so they have to be in separate tanks. That's a really good question. Thanks for asking. Yeah, you got to keep them in separate tanks unless you want to breed them. Then the boy and the girl can have a romantic night out, but then you want to separate them because when the female lays her babies, the male will come along and eat them.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. People always like to talk about the praying mantis and how the female turns around and bites the head off of the male after mating. I don't even know if that's true. But the truth is, it's often the males in the natural world who eliminate their, their future competition.
Since you bring that up, what's really interesting is when the female has her spiderlets and they all hatch out, they'll eat each other. They actually will. They'll munch out on each other just to kind of thin out the brood.
Wow.
So that there's fewer spiders going after the food sources.
And that is, and that's the natural way.
You have to kind of separate them out. What's that?
That's the natural way that they eat each other.
That's Mother Nature.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, heck, we're not even the least bit better as humans, but it's fascinating to get to watch it in a terrarium. Thank you, Dr. Doug. And to those of you who love your hairy spiders, enjoy them.
Thanks, Tracy.
Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From Zubad Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.